Okay, so we're on top Iron Dollar tonight. Okay, so if you remember, we got to around six on Iron Dollar 74A, page 147. We got to around the eighth, beginning of the eighth line in the small gimel. So Amar of Nachman, which way about Neiman, it's different people have halachically they're believed in situations, even though they can't give edus. Please, people need to mute themselves. If I mute you, please don't unmute yourself. All right. So certain people have them honest, their believability for purposes of halacha. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Nachman, Shoshana Ne'emanim Alabachor. There are three people who have Ne'emanos that are believed to identify the Bechor. And identifying the Bechor is a money issue. In other words, the Bechor is entitled to Pishnayim.
Is
So
it a
that,
child or an animal?
no, we're talking about a human. The three people are Ne'eman Alabachor. Elohim, we have begun it yesterday. Elohim, Chaya, Aviv, Ve'imo. So the midwife, his father, and his mother of a person. We'll see in a minute. Chaya the altar. So the Chaya only has Neman as the altar. In other words, immediately after the birth, the Chaya, right, that's what we did yesterday. The Chaya has Neman as. Yeah, Imo Kol Shiva. The mother has Neman as for the first 7 days, the Gemara says. And it means the way the arts were quoted, the Taz, it's just a din derabanan. He says, Aviv Liolam, the father always has mnemonics to identify who his Bechor is. So it's not clear whether it includes the first 7 days or doesn't include the first 7 days. From the Rambam, it sounds like from the get-go, the father has mnemonics. Kitatanya, like we learn in the Brisa, Yakir. So it says in the beginning of Parshas Ki Teitzei, it says, Ki Bechor Ben Asnua Yakir, that the father should, like, it means Pshuto Shel Mikra, he should recognize and treat the child, the son of the Snua. In other words, he's got two wives, the Ahuvah and a Snua. And the Bechor is born to the Snua, so Yakir, he has to recognize him and treat him as the Bechor. But the Gemara has a drasha, Yakirenu la'acherim. He'll identify the Bechor to other people, meaning that the Torah gives a koach to the father in Ne'emanos to saying the father has absolute Ne'emanos on who the Bechor is. Mikanamar, Rabbi Yehuda, Ne'emanah de Lamar is Zebini Bechor. So from here, the Tana Rabbi Yehuda said that a person is believed to say, "This is my firstborn, and he's a Bechor, my firstborn Bechor, my son." Just like he's Neman to say, "This is my first son, he's a Bechor." Kach Neman Lamar, he's also Neman to say a different halacha, and this is like moving away a little bit, that this son is a Ben Grusha, the son is a Ben Chalutza, the father has Nemanas that way as well. In other words, this one is Bechor, this one's not the Bechor. This one is the Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza, but Chachamim remain on Neman. The Chachamim disagree with that second halacha about the Ben Grusha and the Ben Chalutza. Okay, let me just pause for a second. 1 minute. Right. So this is from the Al-Hadaf, by Rabbi Zev 16. So the Gemara we did already, the Rashba explains that even though it's a general rule, testimony of women is not admissible evidence for monetary judgment. In other words, he's focusing on the Chaya is Neman or Nemanet, say the Bechor la'alter, the Chaya has Nemanus, the midwife. So in general, like women, they can't give Eidos and a Bezdin. We rely on the midwife's testimony regarding the double portion inheritance of the firstborn, since the midwife is usually the only person attending the birth who can identify the firstborn. This special credibility, although not explicit in the Torah, is alluded to in the passage regarding Yehuda and Tamar, coming up in a few weeks in Kriyas HaTorah, whereby the Torah relates how the midwife marked Tamar's firstborn by tying red string on his hand as he emerged from the womb. He says, Zayetz HaRishonah. So that's in Parshas, I think, Vayeshev, right? It says, but Shorya Doshani Lemor, so yes, I reach enough. He ties like this red string around his hand that he's the one who emerged first. So that's alluded to there. The Rush indicates the credibility of a midwife is derived from the father's credibility. Presumably, the reason the Torah granted a father credibility to testify regarding his children's ages is that such matters are usually not known to others. The same logic is applied to the credibility of a midwife vis-a-vis the birth of twins, since the midwife is often the only person who can identify which twin emerged first. Is yeah, but all right. Oh.
Twins are, I could say this is the first,
Right.
but I'm the midwife taking care of this woman, and how do I know that's her firstborn?
No. I think it means that when we said that it's the Bechor, I think it means that there are two children born. Right. That's the, so the midwife is identifying one with. Yeah, I think it's saying twins. Okay. Now, the Mahari.
What was the question?
Here, 1 minute. I'll let Michael say it to you. Go ahead.
How does a midwife know that the little boy that she just delivered is her Bechor? Maybe it's her third pregnancy. How does this midwife know that? So his answer is no. Only talking about twins, and she's believed to say who came out first.
All right. Now let's go
ahead
now.
Thank you.
Hold on. Okay. Now. Okay. Now the Maharik citing Rabbeinu Tam extends the admissibility of women's testimony to other instances where it would be difficult to find male witnesses. For example, if someone suffered damages in the Ezra's Nashim, the women's section of the Beit Knesset, the court is permitted to accept the testimony of women bystanders, since it is unlikely for them to find any male witnesses who were present in the Ezra's Nashim. Maharik quotes cites Rabbeinu Tam. Similarly, the Uta rules that the court may accept testimony of women with regard to a dispute involving a widow's garments, since it's unusual for men to gaze at women's clothing. The Beis Yosef, however, cites Rishonim, who disagree and limit women's credibility in the case of a midwife. So, all right. Now, I tell you, with this nemanis for the midwife, I told you the Taz seems to learn it's a din d'rabbanan. That's what makes sense to me. It's a din d'rabbanan that they gave nemanis to the Chaya. Now, the Prisha maintains that a midwife is believed to identify the firstborn twin, even at a later date, provided there is no opposing testimony from the parents or from other witnesses. So we said in the Gemara that the midwife is only nemen at la'alter, but the Prisha is saying that if nobody is contesting her statement, she's nemen at even much later. He explains that when Rav Nachman and Rav Chisda limited midwife's credibility to the time of birth, they mean that at birth, the midwife who attended the birth has more credibility than any contradicting testimony from anyone else. He says the Taz disagrees and maintains that a midwife is not believed to identify the firstborn twin once she leaves the infant's room, even if there is no opposing testimony, because we suspect that she might have confused the twins. If, however, the wife of a Kohen and the wife of a Levi give birth in the same room, the midwife would be believed even at a later point in time to identify the two children, since they are not twins, and she's not as likely to confuse them. So it seems like it's a halakha that's limited to twins, and then the midwife has them on us, and then there's a question, is it only at that moment, or does it mean only at that moment if somebody, you know, is, you know, maybe, you know, contesting it, but maybe if nobody's arguing with her, then she have nemanis later on. That could be. But the key is the limud is for the father. The father is yakir. The father has nemanis to identify who his before is. Okay. Now, all right, he's got more here, but let me get through the Gemara today and we'll see where we go. Okay. Now, let's take a look further in the Gemara. So, Abashulia Yakur the Shtuki Baduki. So, in the Mishnah, all right, any questions, comments, and thoughts on anything we did so far? Any questions, comments, and thoughts? Okay, let's go on. So, in the Mishnah, we said that the Shtuki is a person who doesn't know who his father is. He knows who the mother is, doesn't know who the father is. And then we went through at length yesterday. We said that on a Din Torah, he'd be permitted to marry in Klal Yisrael. But the Chamim created a Mala and Yuchsin, the stringency in Yuchsin, that he can't marry within Klal Yisrael. And then he's limited to, you know, marrying like a Ger or a Mamzer or, you know, something along those lines. So, one second. Yeah. Gerich, Mamzer, and Tina Shtuke. Okay. So now, but then Abba Shaul said in the Mishnah, he would call the Shtuke a Baduki. So we have to clarify now, what is Abba Shul saying? What does that line mean? So my Baduki, what does Baduki mean? Ilema Shabotkin Imo Biomerit L'Kasher Nivalti Ne'emenet. Perhaps Abba Shul means that Shul Yuhul Shtuki Baduki, the Baduki means that we would examine the mother, we know who the mother is, and based on the mother's statement, the mother would be believed to say that I had relations, according to Abba Shul, with somebody who was Kasher. In other words, we don't know who the father is, but she said, I had relations with somebody, but he was kasher. So perhaps Abba Shul is cholek with the Tanakama, and he holds that the Baduki could come to Kahal. So the Gemara says, Keman, Rabbi Gamaliel. So who would Abba Shul be going like? He would be like going like a known Tana, Rabbi Gamaliel. He says, so if that's the case, we'll see in a minute, Tanina Chadazimna. We already learned this in the Mishnah once before. So now the Gemara quotes a Mishnah in Masechet Ketubot. Ditnan, if a woman was pregnant, va'amrula Mativo shel ubarzel. He said, you know, where does this child come from? Meaning, who is the father? Amralahem ish ploni the kohen who. She says he was ish ploni was a kohen. And really, Lewis was saying it's not that he's a kohen; it's that he's miuchas. In other words, there are no. If you look at Rashi, the kohen who kolomer miuchas who. He's miuchas. In other words, the father had no problems with zichus. He's an adam kasher. So Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Blazer omrim nemenet. Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Blazer say the mother is nemenet, and so that we believe the child is fully. There's nothing wrong with the child. Rabbi Yeshua Omer Lomi Pio Anachayim. Rabbi Yeshua says we don't believe her. So that's the mission over there. But Amar Rabbi Yudamar Shmuel Halacha Rabbi Gamliel, and Rabbi Yudah says the name Shmuel Halacha follows Rabbi Gamliel. So perhaps Abba Shaul in our Mishnah is really agreeing with Rabbi Gamliel. So, but if that's the case, why do I need two Mishnayot? Why can't I just have, why couldn't Rebbe just write that that Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Lezer are saying they're mad at it, and Abba Shul agrees with them, and Abba Shul also holds that way. So, he says, V'chein ha'ya Abba Shul omer kid v'rab. Abba Shul would say the same thing. So why do we need a whole statement here in our Mishnah? So the Gemara says, no, there's a difference between two Mishnayot. Chadol ha'chshir ba'a. There's a difference between the two statements. The Mishnah in Masechet Ketubot is dealing with the status of the mother. Has the mother been rendered a halala by having relations with a psul or someone like that? Is she still permitted to marry a kohen? So that's what the Mishnah is focusing in Masechet Ketubot. And there, Rabbi Gamliel says she's nemenet vis-a-vis her own status. He says, but not vis-a-vis the offspring. He says, our Mishnah is extending it according to this pshat. When Abba Shaul says he calls Shuki Baduki, he's saying that we rely even on the mother's statement more than what Rabbi Gamliel says. We rely on the mother's statement to establish the bona fides of the offspring. The chalala hashir bevita. So she has a daughter. The daughter's not a chalala. The daughter could marry a kohen. That's what we think. So hanich leman damar the zibriya machshir ba posel bevita. So that works well according to the opinion that's explaining the Mishnah in Masechet Ketubot. The Dibri Amachshir Ba, according to Rabbi Gamliel, he's posel bevita. Rabbi Gamliel himself says the mother is kasher, but the offspring is tainted. Rabbi Gamliel. The mother's saying, I had relations with somebody, but he was an Adam kasher. So that's the question that's the Makhloka tonight. So Rabbi Gamliel, they look at the Rashi, and the Rashi with a small aleph in parentheses, Chadol Hashir Ba, he says, Rabbi Gamliel, Dlohem Mina Ella Atzma. Shonchalam and a truma. Only believes her. In other words, she already has. She has a chazak already. She has a presumption. So she's believed to say that my, you know, status quo has not been disturbed. So if she, let's say, was about kohen, she can still continue to eat truma. Aval lo lahashir oto ubar, but not the nemanis doesn't extend to believe in the status of the ubar. Shimbati lo tina se the kohen. Abashu machshir abavita damanita napavlad kai shushduki. Then Abashul says no. Her nemanis even extends to the offspring. But back in the Gemara, that goes well according to the opinion that says Rabbi Gamliel is only speaking about the mother, in which case Abba Shul is speaking about the offspring. But according to another opinion, Rabbi Gamliel says, like you're saying, Yosef, that the mother's in good shape and the offspring's in good shape. So if that's the case, so Abba Shul, my Atla Shwin, that's what the Gemara says. So what is Abba Shul adding that I don't have already in the Gemara? So the Gemara says, Abba Shul Adifa means Rabbi Gamliel. Notwithstanding that, Abba Shul is still cutting new ground. The Ime Hatam, because if I only had the Mishnah Masechet Ketubot, Havamina Hatam Rav Kshirin Etzla. I would say that when Rabbi Gamliel says the mother's name meant it, he's talking about a situation that most of the people in her community would be people who would be kasher for her. So, like Rashi, look at Rashi, the last Rashi in the Gemara. Ime Hatam Havamina Hani Mila Hechad Rav Kshirin Etzla. Gigon Penuya. In other words, that she was a single girl, right? The Rova Ir Masin Lakuna, and most of the people in this town would be kasher, be married into Kuna. So they're not going to apostle her for truma, things like that. But in a situation where most people would be apostle vis-a-vis this woman, Gigon Arusa, she went through Arusin, so she's only permitted one person now. He says, Vihi Omerit Min Arus Hu. And she says, well, the man I had relations with, well, my arus, my, I don't know what the right word, but my husband, but in other words, more than, you know, I mean, it, technically, but it means like my husband, but not yet through any suin. Or she's unmarried, but most of the people are not Messin Lakuna. So back in the Gemara, Dime Hatam Avamina Hatam Drop Sharon's law, Valhechad Drop Sulanet's law, where most of the people would be Pasul, Aimalo. I would say no, it doesn't extend so far. So Sri Abba Sha'ul says, even when most of the people are Psulim, she's them. Right, or even if she's Penui, but most of the people are Psulim. So Amar Rava Halacha Kabashul. So Rava says the Halacha follows up Shul. So it comes out, you know, a little differently than one would think when we learn from Mishnah. So in Akilami, the Tana Mishnah says that a Shtuki can't marry Bekahal, and the Shtuki can marry Mamzer, Mtinin, and Kalalim. But Abba Shaul says he calls Shtuki a Beduki. So based on Abba Shaul, if the mother says the man that I had the tryst with was an Adam Kasher, so the halacha is like Abba Shaul, the mother is believed, and he's believed and believed according to the second Lashon, even with respect to the offspring. And he believed even if most of the people are Psulim, the Gabi. Right, even the child is acceptable. So it's coming out just 180 degrees opposite from the way we, you know, thought. From, I mean, the Tanakhama holds the way we said, but Abba Shaul holds the other way. But the Gemara says Allah is like Abba Shaul. All right, any questions, comments, thoughts on anything I did so far? All right. Now, the next Mishnah is very, very confusing. And the Gemara is going to spend most of the rest of the daf trying to unconfuse the Mishnah, okay, and clarify it for us, okay? Let's see, we're going to go on the Mishnah and let us all be patient and focused. So, Manitin, Kol ha'asur in levo b'kahal, mutar in levo zebazeh. We think this means people that can't come to kahal, like a mamzer or a shtuki, right, they can't marry the rest of Klal Yisrael, but they're nevertheless they can marry one another. So the mamzer could have, you know, marry up with the shtuki, things like that. The only difficulty with that is if that's the pshat in that line, the Tana already taught that to me. So why would the Tana repeat it? Right, we had it. So that's the difficulty with explaining it that way. But this way I'm going to go right now. Rabbi Huda Oseh, Rabbi Huda Aser, we don't know what Rabbi Huda is speaking about here, but the one telltale clue we could have, which the Gemara is going to focus on, is we have a statement of Rabbi Yehuda on Ayin Beis Amud Beis. Let's go back to Ayin Beis Amud Beis, 72b, page 144, two lines from the bottom. If you remember, we said Tanu Rabbanan Ger no se mamzeret divrei Rabbi Yosi. According to Tanu Rabbi Yosi, Ger can marry a mamzeret. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Ger lo yisa mamzeret. Rabbi Yehuda says, right, that the Ger cannot marry a mamzeret because kal gerim ikri kal. It is kal, according to the Tana Rabbi Yehuda. All right, so we'll see how if that fits in, if at all. Rabbi Yehuda Oser. Now we have Reb Lezer, but on the side he corrects it, Reb Lazar. Reb Lazar, I mean, would be, if it's Reb Lazar, would be Reb Lazar ben Shimon. Reb Lazar Omer, Vadan b'Vadan Mutar. Reb Lazar says something a little differently than we learned from the first Mishnah. In other words, a Vadai with a Vadai is permissible. So Mamzer with a Mamzer, that's a perfect Shidduch. Vadan b'Sveikhan, but if one is a badai like a mamzer, one's a safek like a shtuki, according to the Tanakam again, or sveikan vada'an, usveikan besveikan, let's say a shtuki with a shtuki, asur, they're all prohibited, because, in other words, a badai could definitely marry a badai, but a badai with a safek, the safek may be an adam kasher, so I'm not going to, you know, give a heter for that. We had a limud permit it, but this Tana holds otherwise. Shtuki, which we've discussed already, is when the person doesn't know who the father is. A Sufi person doesn't know, he's an abandoned child, he doesn't know either parent. And Kuti we know are the people that the king of Ashur brought from Kuta, which was a town in Assyria, non-Jews, who he brought to Eretz Israel. And then they were attacked by lions, and they converted to Judaism, but they were doing Avodah Zarah, and then they were doing half Judaism, half Avodah Zarah. But then, according to one opinion, they finally did accept Yiddishkeit. But then we've discussed in the past, they went through different stages. The Chachamim separated them totally from Klal Yisrael and treated them like Goyim. So we'll see, not tonight, where we'll have later on tomorrow, what the Peshat is with the Kuti. All right, that's the mission so far. Okay, who's got questions, comments, or thoughts on anything I did so far? All right, let's go further on the Gemara. Now, the Gemara says, my kula asum levo b'kahal. What does that first line of Mishnah mean? That everybody who is prohibited to enter the Kaal. And enter the Kaal means to marry a regular Jew. So the Mishnah says anybody who's prohibited to come to the Kaal can marry one another. So we thought, the way I was explaining it, the Rashi explained it, that the mom's there and the shtuki, they can marry one another, everybody has a whole fest. He says, Ilema mamzere unatini shtuki basufi, if I'll say he's referring to the way Rashi was saying, mamzerim, natinim are the people that, you know, givonim, that convert to Judaism, the shtuki and the sufi, which we've discussed many times before, he says, hatan le resha. But the Tana already taught me that halakha, i.e., so the Tana taught this in the Mishnah on Samach Tet. Why would the Tana teach me the same thing, you know, a few lines later? That's question one. Question number two, Rabbi Huda Oser, Rabbi Huda prohibits something. So, what is he prohibiting? So, Ilema Avada An Bisfei Khan, perhaps the Tana Rabbi Huda, in other words, perhaps our Tana says, that a mamzer can marry shtuki, and perhaps Rabbi Huda says no, he can't. In other words, he's oser vadan b'sveikan. In other words, the vadai mamzer can't marry the safek mamzer. Perhaps that's what he says. Well, let's be patient. I mean, the katani seifa, but we learned in the seifa of this mishnah, Rabbi Lazar omer vadan b'vadan mutar, vadan b'sveikan asveikan b'sveikan asur. So, in other words, I have three opinions of the mishnah. A is the Tana Kama, then B is Rabbi Lazar, then B is Rabbi Huda, and C is Rabbi Lazar. So the Tana Kama says all the problems can marry one another. Then Rabbi Huda's Oseri prohibits something. We don't know what he prohibits. That's B. And Rabbi Lazar, which is C, says the Badai with the topic is prohibited. So maybe we're thinking, maybe Rabbi Lazar says the Badai with the topic is prohibited. He says, but since we've seen, that maybe that's what Rabbi Huda means. The Gemara says, I mean, Tani Sefer, Rabbi Lazar, Mer Badam, the Mutar, but I'm speaking of the Kanasur, other Rabbi Huda, low sphere like. So if I see opinion C holds that way, but some Rabbi Huda disagrees with opinion C, so that can't be. So I have three opinions in the Mishnah, A, B, and C. A says all the people who are, you know, psule kal can, you know, have a whole party together and make a shidduch with each other, meaning the mamzere, the asufi, the shtuki. And then B, which is the unknown, is Rabbi Huda, is Oser, he prohibits something, we don't know what, but presumably what the Tana Kama was discussing. And then C is Rav Lazar says the Bada is prohibited with the Safek. So we thought maybe Rav Yehuda is ossering the Bada with the Safek, but if C is ossering the Bada with the Safek, so Mitzama B isn't saying the same thing. The Chitema, Rav Yehuda Oser, Hager B'Mamzeret, so maybe say, look, I know what Rav Yehuda holds. We learned the Gemara earlier, Ayin Beis, the Rabbi Huda says a ger is not allowed to marry a mamzeret. So maybe when it says that Rabbi Huda oser, he's asking a ger to marry a mamzeret. Maybe that's what he means. But me the ger mamzeret katani. Did anybody mention a ger? It's nice. Like he could hold that way. But did anybody mention a ger with a mamzeret? It's got like, you know, it's got nothing to do with anything. Katani. So the first line is everybody is prohibited to come a kal. Okay, let's just summarize again what we did so far. We're trying to figure out this mishnah. It's a puzzling mishnah. So again, the first line of the Mishnah says everybody that's Asur B'Kahal can marry one another. So with simple pshat, we thought it means like a mamzer, you know, a chalal, you know, a shtuki, a sufi. They're all prohibited to B'Kahal, but they can marry one another. But if that's the... Well, once again, maybe I made a mistake. One second. You know, I made a mistake. Yeah, chalal. I shouldn't have said the chalal. Yeah, I'm sorry. The geir b'charure. Yeah, like the geir and the Eben Meshuchar, the Mamzer, the Nati, the Shtuki, and the Sufi, so they're all Psilat Kahal, they can marry one another. But if that's the Pshat, the Tana just said that, so it's not likely that would be the Pshat. So that's one question. Then the next line of Mishnah says, Rabbi Huda Oser, Rabbi Huda prohibits something, presumably that the Tana Kama permits. So what did the Tana Kama permit that Rabbi Huda is Oser? So maybe Rabbi Huda holds that the Vadai is prohibited with the Safek. So the Vadai Mamzer is prohibited with the Safek Mamzer. Fine. But then Rabbi Lazar says that later on. So it's not likely Rabbi Huda says the same thing as Rabbi Lazar. So we don't know what that means at all. And then we said, well, maybe we know Rabbi Huda holds that a Ger is prohibited with Mamzeret. Yeah, that's true. Maybe Rabbi Huda Oser prohibits a Ger to marry a Mamzeret. But nobody's talking about a Ger and a Mamzeret. So what? Nobody mentioned the Ger up till now. Cool. No, but the Surah, we didn't say the Ger is prohibited to come a Kahal. right? Here can come to Kal. Wait, but everybody agrees a ger can marry a kal, right? Okay. So we don't know what so we can't figure out what's going on with this mission. Okay? All right. Any questions, comments, thoughts? Everybody good so far? All right, let's go further. Now the Gemara is going to have four different pshatim in the Mishnah and knock down the first three until we get to the one that works as number four. Okay? So let's take a look back in the Gemara. So okay, so Amar Rabbi Yehuda, the bottom line on Ayin Dal and Aleph. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, turn page, top line on Ayin Dal and Beis. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Hachi Kamar. Rabbi Yehuda says this is what the Mishnah means. Kul Hasurim Lavo B'Kal Kuhuna. So we thought Hasurim Lavo B'Kal means like B'Kal Yisrael, like all Jews. So Rabbi Yehuda says it means Kul Hasurim Lavo B'Kal Kuhuna, all the people that cannot marry Kohanim. He says, My Ninu, what does that mean? The Giyoret Pechutim Vashel Shanim Yamachad. A convert who means even a convert who's less than 3 years old. Now we'll see. It's a machloket tanaim. In other words, what's the psul for a ger or a giorit marrying a kohen? So one way to say is of a zona that we assume that goyim are promiscuous, have relations, and so there's a presumption in halacha that the non-Jew has had relations and the kohen is prohibited in a zona. But that would only leave me. But the B is only considered a B when you're more than 3 years in one day. But then there's another pasuk which Rashi quotes on the fourth wide line, Kim betulot mizera beit Yisrael. So another opinion holds that the coin is prohibited on any gear at any age, even if it's like a 1 day old gear, because it has to be betulot mizera beit Yisrael. So see, back in the Gemara, we'll discuss why the Tanakh explains this way, and we'll see how this goes. So. Your pichot b'shoshin v'yom echad. So, assuming that we're going to go this way, and the Gemara will say why we have to go this way. So, the kohanim are prohibited marrying gerim. Udlo ki Reb Shimon Shetach, and not like the Tan Reb Shimon Shetach says that only from three and above is prohibited. But if you'd have a child that had converted below the age of three, you could marry a kohen. But right, but we're not doing this. Not going like Reb Shimon. Lo ki Reb Shimon Yochai. Mutarin lavo zeh bazeh. So everybody that's prohibited to b'kal kahuna, which would be like these gerim, we think it means mutar lavo zeh bazeh. Mutar lavo zeh bazeh is like a legal term. It means they can marry the mamzere, the shtuki, the asufi. They can marry all the psulei kal. That's what we think it means. Right. Wait. Let's focus on all the psulei kahuna, which we're focusing on the gerim right now. We think the Tana saying they can marry the people who are like the general rejected people from Klal Yisrael, like the Mamzere and the Tine and the Shtuki. That's what we think. So the Nuk and indeed we said that according to Rabbi Yossi, a ger is mutar v'mamzeret, right? A ger can marry mamzeret. So the Gemara says v'nukma v'vach shloshim v'yom echad v'afilu Reb Shimon Yochai. Why do we say why are you like doing like somersaults to say that the Tanakh Kama holds like that all gerim are prohibited to a coin? Why don't we just say it's like Reb Shimon Yochai, that a child that's over three is prohibited to coinim. Im kein mitzita tavra. So the Gemara says, if I would do it that way, I'm going to have a question right away. Means like the question is right there on the side. Elatam about Shoshin Yom Echad, the reason that they cannot marry the Shevet Kuhuna is because they're over 3 years old. So less than 3 years that they could marry a kohen, asur lavo zebazeh, would be prohibited to marry, let's say, like a mamzer. In other words, asur lavo zebazeh means all the psulei kal. So that would mean that a giyoret that's less than 3 years old, even when she gets to be adult, in other words, she converted when she was less than three, would not be able to marry a mamzer, would not be able to marry a natin or a shtuki. He says, Asur lavo zeh bazeh, haray pechutu b'shoshim yimachad, Reb Shimon Yochai, dimuter lavo b'kal kuhuna, but according to Reb Shimon Yochai, she can come b'kal kuhuna, Mutarot lavo ze bazer. They are permissible to one another. So, in other words, the Tanna Mishnah said we're doing two things. It's kol asur lavo b'kal kahuna. He says our mutar lavo ze bazer. That's what the Tanna teaches me. Well, that's the way we understand this Mishnah. He says that everybody who can't marry the kahal kahuna, if you can't enter the kahal kahuna, you can marry zebazeh, which means you can marry all the psulei kahal, like the mamzerim and the tinim, the shtukim and the supi. That's what you could marry those. So we're explaining according to this ukimta, according to Rabbi Yehuda. So we want to say that when it says that everybody who cannot marry kahal kahuna means all gerim from any age, they can't marry the kahal kahuna, but all gerim from any age could marry all the psulei kahal. And the reason we're not explaining that it means, why can't we explain that the Tana means gerim who are over than 3 years and a day, like Rosh Shimon ben Yochai, so the gerim who are prohibited from kahal, they could marry, that's true. But the implication would be that if they're mutar levo b'kal kahuna, in other words, if they're permitted to marry sheva kahuna, that they're not allowed to marry all these psulim, but they are allowed to marry the psulim. That's why that doesn't work. Okay, so we think we have a pshat that would explain the mission. That's what we think. So the Gemara says, uklalahu, is that true? So the Gemara is going to shlug it up in 1 minute, but everybody have the pshat that Rebbe wants to say? So again, so we're tweaking it just a little bit. And we're saying, klasum lebo b'kahal, with Rabbi Yehuda, means kal kuhuna. So it means the shevet kuhuna, and it means like gerim, even though gerim can't marry the shevet kuhuna, gerim can marry the psulei kahal. That's what we think the Mishnah means. That's what we think. And and then that would fit also with then the next line says Rabbi Yehuda oser, because Rabbi Yehuda, he does not allow a ger to marry a mamzeret. So that would make sense. So the Mishnah would be going good. So the Mishnah looking good so far. So he says, the Gemara says, uklalahu, is that true, a general principle? The chol asur levo b'kal kahuna mutar levo zebazeh. Anybody who can't marry the kahal kahuna could marry, when it says levo zebazeh, they can marry the psulei kahal, the psulei general kahal, like the mamzer, the nati, the shtuki, the asufi. He says, you have a widow, a grusha, a halala is like, you know, the girl that was, or the offspring of like a kohen and a grusha. He says, and a zona, the asur levo b'kal kahuna, they can't marry kal kahuna, but asur levo zebazeh, that doesn't work. But in other words, the people who are asked to come b'kal kahuna, if it's only gerim, you have some working shot. But it's not only gerim can't marry the shevet kuhuna. There's a whole list of people who can't marry shevet kuhuna, and not everybody who can't marry shevet kuhuna is allowed to marry all the psulei kahal. The two hamutar asur, and then he says, now he's spelling it out. You're saying that if you are allowed to marry the shevet kuhuna, then you're not allowed. In other words, if you are allowed to marry shevet kuhuna, you can't marry the psulei kahal for a ger shemutar b'kohenet. So a ger, in other words, a kohen cannot marry a gioret, but a ger could marry a bat kohen. So in other words, shevet kuhuna is not going to be the male kohenim, it's going to be the female kohenim. In other words, I have this like the group of people, the kohenim, just the males and the females. So ger is mutar b'kohenet. If you remember, and Rabbi was mentioning this yesterday, Rava, he made the drasha, he went to Mechuza, and he says, you know, I have good news for you. You know, ger is allowed to marry a kohenet when they get more of the shirayim. Then he says, I have been. a ger can marry a mamzer, any mamzeret. Anyway, for a ger shmutz for kohenet, mutar mamzeret. So that's not working out either. All right, now let's just take a look. All right, we have a little time. Let me do a little Rashi with this, okay? And then we'll see. So the top line in Rashi, Hachi Kamar, Kolomar, this was Rabbi Yehuda's shot, which we gave up on already. Hachi Kamar, Kolomar, Leolam Rabbi Yehuda, Agir Mamzeret Koi. So it means, when he says Rabbi Yehuda, it means the Tana Rabbi Yehuda is mentioned in our Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda Oser, he's in other words, that's going to be our anchor. that Rabbi Yehuda, as far as we know, Rabbi Yehuda holds on Ayin Beis Amud Beis, a ger is prohibited by Mamzeret. So he says, so there's Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yehuda. So Rabbi Yehuda the Amora is the one who gave this pshat, but he says, Hachi Karma, Kloma Leolam Rabbi Yehuda, the Tana Rabbi Yehuda, a ger Mamzeret Kai, when he says he's so serious about ger Mamzeret, the Shamalin the Tana Kama, the Ayriba. He heard that the Tana Kama was talking about a ger and a Mamzeret. Bahai Bekahal to Ka'amrat, Kal Kuhunahu. He says, when he mentioned the Kahal, that Kula Asur Levo Bekalim and Kal Kuhuna, the Kohen Asur Begiyoret, Bapil Bechukim Begoshlo Shanim, even if she's less than 3 years old, Lab Bat Biyahi, like her Biyah is not called the Biyah, Ve'ein Sham Yishim Chashash Zunot, there's no concern of Zunot because her Biyah is not a Biyah, but nevertheless, she can't marry the Kohen, Dechtiv, he quotes a Pasuk in Yechezkel, Kim Betulot Mizera Beit Yisrael. And the Kohenim are only going to take Betulot Mizera Beit Yisrael, from untainted lineage from the Jews. Udalo, Reb Shimon. So that would not follow the opinion of Reb Shimon Bar Yochai, the Amar Lakamen Bepirkin. He's going to explain later on Daf Ayin Chet, Giyoret Pechutim Bat Shosh Ksheir Lakuna. He learns that a Giyoret less than 3 years is permissible to a Kohen. But Hachi Kamar, so this is what the Mishnah means, according to the Amora, Rabbi Yehuda, Kol HaAsurin Lavo B'Kal Kohuna, anyone who can't come enter the Kalkuna, Umay Niu, Demar Bihat Klala Yoter Al Rishonim Shasurim Bekal Yisrael. So, what is he expanding this on more? What's more with the Kush Kalkuna that's with Klal Yisrael? Giorech Bechutabat Shoshanim means even a Gior is less than 3 years old. In other words, he's saying even a Gioret who cannot marry the Sheva Kuhuna. Giora could marry in Klal Yisrael, but they can't marry Sheva Kuhuna. He says, Mutarn Hanach Asurin, in other words, that they can marry these people who were otherwise Yisurei Kahal. Yerot Umam Zerim and Utinu Shtuki Levo Zebazeh. In other words, they could come Zebazeh. All right? All right. Now let me see. Here. So let's just see. Okay, so this is good. Okay, so, but the pshat didn't work out well because we said two things. We said that there are other people who cannot marry Shevet Kohuna, but they cannot marry with the Kahal of Psulim. And then we said also that that if you're prohibited to marry the Shevet Kohuna, so it sounds like you would be Mutar Levo B'Kahal. One second. Right. We said if you were allowed to marry Sheva Kuhuna, then you're not allowed to marry within the Psula Kahal, but the Ger is allowed to marry a Bat Kohen, but the Ger could marry a Mamzeret. So the Ger is allowed in the Sheva Kuhuna on one level, but he's nevertheless, he's permitted to married, so that doesn't work out too well either. Okay, so now we're up to shot number two. Okay, so any questions on shot number one, Rabbi Yehuda? Moving on, otherwise, everybody good? All right, so 20 lines down. So Elamar of Nathan Bar Oshia. So this is shot number two. Rabbi Nathan Bar Oshia says, and we're going to obviously kick this out too. He says Elamar of Nathan Bar Oshia, Hachi Kamar, Kol Shekoin Asurli Sa'ed Bito. So he tweaks Rabbi Yehuda's initial shot. He wants to say it's going to stay with the Shevet Kohuna, but we're going to tweak it a little bit. Kol Shekoin Asur L'Sad Bito. If the Kohen can't marry the person's daughter, Umay Niu, what would that be? Ger, Shenasa Gioret, Ukhra Blezer Ben Yaakov. If a Ger marries a Gioret, according to the Tana of Blezer Ben Yaakov, the Kohen cannot marry the offspring of that marriage. In other words, the Ger marries a Gioret, and they, let's say they have a daughter, according to Reb Lezer ben Yaakov, a Kohen cannot marry that daughter. He says, nevertheless, Mutarin Levo Zebazeh. But they means like the parents who are the Gerim could marry the Psulei Kahal. So in other words, we're focusing on the parents, but we're just saying we're talking about the offspring vis-a-vis the Kohen. When we say Kol Shasurin Levo Bekal means Bekal Kuhuna, but it means if the Kohen is Asur to marry the offspring, if the Kohen is prohibited to marrying the offspring, so the parents could marry with all the Psulim. So if I have a ger and a gioret, according to Reb Elazar ben Yaakov, the kohen cannot marry the offspring. If a ger marries a gioret, according to Reb Elazar ben Yaakov, the kohen can't marry the daughter. But the ger and the gioret, you know, could marry, you know, mamzerim and shtukim things. So that's what we think the pshat will be. We're going to go with that pshat. We're going to go with that pshat. So we got rid of the whole thing with the almana, the grusha, the whole thing like that, because we're 20 bad offspring. Uklalahu, is that true as an overarching principle? The chosh kohen has truly said bitom, that anyone that the kohen cannot marry the daughter, utaron levo zebazeh, but the parents could marry all the isurei kal, hare chalal shnasapat Yisrael. If a chalal marries a bat Yisrael, it means the chalal, his father was a kohen, his mother was a grusha. He's the chalal. He marries a bat Yisrael. He says the kohen has truly sabito. His daughter is also a chalal. His daughter is also a chalal. So he, the chalal that marries a bat Yisrael, the kohen can't marry the offspring. But he, the chalal, he can't marry a mom or anything like that. That's not working out. So the Gemara says, no, not so hard, difficult. Lokasha, Kribdostai ben Yehuda. Kribdostai ben Yehuda says that if a chalal marries a bat Yisrael, the offspring is kasher and can marry a kohen. So again, we assume, we said that whenever the kohen is not allowed to marry the daughter, so we saw the ger and the giorit, but then we switched it to the chalal that married a bat Yisrael, we said the kohen can't marry the daughter. But according to Reb Dostai ben Yehuda that we had before, he says that the Bero Yisrael are mikvah tara, and indeed the kohen could marry the daughter. So that's off the table. So we ran into problems with that case, but the case is out the door. So the Gemara says, v'rei chalal shasa chalala. Let's give a different case. Let's say chalal marries a chalala. In other words, both their parents were kohenim, both their mothers were grusho, and now they make kiddush. The chalal marries the chalala, the kohen has really sabito. So here, the kohen, even according to Reb Dostai, cannot marry the daughter. Basur nami lavo zebaze. Nevertheless, the parents can't come marry all the psulim like the mamzer and nakin and so forth. So that doesn't work out so well. That's question number one. The two, hamutar asur. The implication is that if you're mutar to a kohen, or the offspring is mutar to a kohen, then you would not be allowed to marry the kal of the psulim. Regir shasabat Yisrael. If a ger marries a bat Yisrael, the kohen mutarli sabito, the kohen could marry the daughter, mutar levo zebazem, and nevertheless the father has a heter to marry mamzerus. So that shot is also going by the wayside. Okay? So again, so shot number one, Rabbi Yehuda, we said him in Kal Kahuna. Then shot number two was from But the first one, no. Skip the first one was just a question. But the pshatim that we're trying to give in the Mishnah, or if you want to see the first, but it was Rabbi Yehuda said it's kalkuna. Then Rav Natan bar Oshia said it's kosh kohen asuli sad bito. If the kohen can't marry the daughter, then the parents have a heter to marry the psule kahal. But that didn't work out so well. We said it was a ger with a gioret, but because we said. A halal that marries a halala, the kohen can't marry the daughter, but they can't marry in the kal of psulim. And anyway, so anyway, Ella Amar of Nachman Amar Ravua. So shot number three. So now we're going to skip it with the Shevet Kahuna business. Put that by the wayside. The Shevet Kahuna helped us because then we had a shot with Rabbi Yehuda. Right, the Rabbi Yehuda said that he said that. All right, so let's see back in the Gemara. All right. So, so the third shot. Ilamar Nachman Ravua, Acha Mamzer Meachoto. Meaning the nafkamina between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Huda, again, we're skipping the Shevet Kahuna. We're not talking about Shevet Kahuna. Again, we're talking about Kol Shasun Levo B'Kal. We're going back to our original Pshat, like garden variety, the people that can't marry within Klal Yisrael and return Levo Zebazet. But the kudur machloket between them, and skip that other pshat that we said from Rabbi Yehuda, erase everything, is about mamzer me'achoto, mamzer me'ishadish. Now, if a person commits adultery, that's a chiyuv skila. That's a chiyuv skila, chiyuv mita. If a person has an incestuous relationship with their sister, that's a chiyuv karet, right? So in other words, a man having relations with his sister is a chiyuv karet. A man having relations with a married woman is a chiyuv skila. Chiyuv skila, okay? So the chiyuv skila is obviously more chamur than the chiyuv karet. Okay, so now the Gemara wants to say that the nafkamina between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Huda is going to turn on how we define mamzer, which we discussed in previous weeks and discussed earlier in the Gemara as well. Elamar Rav Nachman Amar Rav Huda Hacham mamzer me'achoto mamzer me'ishadisha itabinayu Tanakhama savar afilu mamzer me'achoto nami habi mamzer. The Tanakhama has a wider brush how he defines a mamzer. A mamzer is if you have relations with, you know, even if it's a chiyuv karet, like your sister, that's a mamzer. And certainly if you have relations, it's a chiyuv, you know, skila, like with a married woman, that's a mamzer. And you can't come bekal, or that's a mamzer, according to the Tanakhama. Rabbi Yehuda Savar, the Tana Rabbi Yehuda holds, me'ish and ish habi mamzer. If it's a chiyuv mita, then that's the mamzer the Torah is speaking about. Me'achoto lo habi mamzer. But from your sister, it's not a mamzer. So we think that the pshat is like this. So we think the pshat in the Mishnah is the Tanakhama is saying anyone who can't come but kahal, meaning all the mamzerim, meaning whether it's karet or chiyuv mita, they could mutar on the bozeh bozeh. They could have relations with, you know, the Sufi, the Shtuki, and everybody else. Whereas Rabbi Huda says no, not everybody, like you say, only the people who are chayv skila, then that applies. But if a person he had relations with his sister, so that's a terrible aveira, but it's not called a mamzer in a Torah. So in my view, then they cannot marry the all the shtuki, the sufi, and the whole bit. Okay, let's see. That's his pshat. We'll see in a minute. He says, "Rabbi Yehuda Savar me'ishadish have mamzer mechtol avi mamzer." So my kamash balan. So assuming that's the pshat in the Mishnah, we're going to knock this out also. And this is Rav Nachman Amar Rav Huda. So assuming that's the pshat in the Mishnah, what would the Tana Mishnah be teaching me in this Mishnah more than he taught me already? Tanina, because we learned in the Mishnah Masechet Yevamot on Daf Mem Tet, Ezuhu Mamzer. The Mishnah says, "Who's a Mamzer?" Kulshu below Yavo di Rabbi Kiva. According to Rabbi Kiva, anyone, again, there are different pshat than Rabbi Kiva. The simple pshat, anyone who violates the law is a mamzer. If the relationship is prohibited in the Torah with the law, you're a mamzer. Shimon HaTimni Omer, Kol Shechay Lav Kari B'dei Shemayim. Shimon HaTimni says, it's a mamzer, even if it's Chayav Kari B'dei Shemayim. That's exactly right, the Tanakhama. V'alakha Kidvarav, and V'alakha Pala Shimon HaTimni. Rabbi Yoshua Omer, and the Tana of Rabbi Huda, we think, would agree with Rabbi Yoshua. Rabbi Yoshua Omer, Kol Shechay Lav Mitat Beitin. It's only if it's chayav mita beitin, otherwise not a mamzer. So, right. So if that's the case, so but why would Tana teach me anything over here? Right. He says he should just say v'chenaya Rabbi Huda kidvarav. Rabbi Huda agrees with him. So what do I need this whole Mishnah for? So that's out the door. Okay. So now we're up to shot number four. Ela Amarava, this is going to be our final shot in the Mishnah. Ela Amarava, Yer Amonim Oavi, Ike Benayu. So the Nafkamina between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Huda is going to be a Ger Amonim Oavi. Now, a Ger Amonim Oavi cannot marry Bekahal. That's clear. A Ger Amonim Oavi, a male Moavi, a male Amoni that converts to Judaism, can't marry Bekahal, can never come Bekahal. So he says, Vahachi Kamar. So this is what the Tana, it's really, we think it's going to come out that the whole Mishnah is going to be the Rebbe Yehuda, but we're going to get there in slow gradations. Vahachi Kamar. Kol Hasrum Lavo B'Kahal. Everyone who's prohibited to come B'Kahal, Umaynihu, Ger Amoni Moavi. In other words, that includes a Ger Amoni Moavi. He's not allowed to come B'Kahal. Utar Lavo Zebazem. They, the Ger Amoni, the Moavi, and everybody else, Mamzer, Shtuki, the Sufi, the whole thing. So that's fine. But if that's what the first line of the Mishnah means, Ihafi my Rabbi Yehuda Oser. What does the line mean, Rabbi Yehuda Oser? So the Gemara says, Hachi Kamar. This is what the Mishnah means. The whole Mishnah is like Rabbi Yehuda, or the first part of the Mishnah. In other words, there's no Tanakam in Rabbi Yehuda, it's just Rabbi Yehuda. Hachi Kamar. Afa Pish Rabbi Yehuda Oser Ger B'Mamzeret, that even though the Tanak Rabbi Yehuda, he asks a Ger to marry a Mamzeret, you're right. Hanimili Ger Deru Lavo Bakal. In other words, a Ger that can marry a Bar Yisrael, he, the Tanakh Rabbi Yehuda, says, cannot marry a Mamzeret. About Ger Amonim Oavi, De Ein Ruin Lavo Bakal, lo. But a Ger, in other words, Tanakh Rabbi Yehuda holds this Ger, right, this Ger that can't come a Kahal, there he agrees with everybody else that the Ger could marry a Mamzeret. So it comes out then, this is the shot of the Maskat of the Mishnah. So it means, everyone who can't come a kahal, including a ger amoni and ger moavi, they're mutarim levo zebazeh. And why? Because Rabbi Yehuda asers a ger amoni moavi to marry a bas Yisrael. So therefore, he holds they could marry the mamzere, the teenage shtuki, and the asufi. Okay. Again, there's no tanakama in Rabbi Yehuda and Mishnah. There's only Rabbi Yehuda. So the Tanah Mishnah says that everybody who's Asur Lavo B'Kahal, the regular Kahal, everyone's Asur, and that includes not just Mamzer, Natin, Shtukin, Asufi, includes a Ger Amoni and a Ger Moavi. They can't come B'Kahal. So anyone who can't come B'Kahal, they could marry Zebazer. They can marry the Mamzer, the whole thing. And why is that the case? Why would Rabbi Yehuda say such a thing? You know, because Rabbi Yehuda normally holds that a ger is not allowed to marry a mamzer, right? Why? Because here, he's oser, that's only by a ger that can marry Bakal. But here, he holds that the ger amoni, the ger moavi, can't marry Bakal. He's Rabbi Yehuda oser, he's oser, the ger amoni, the ger moavi, to marry Bakal. So they could marry the mamzer and a teenager, everything like that, okay? All right, let me just wrap it up. We only have a few minutes left, and that'll be it. All right, I think we're going to dash through this whole Gemara tonight. Okay, let's take a look back on the Gemara. So we're four lines from the bottom, five lines from the bottom. He says, Tana Rabbanan, we learn the Braisa, Ventation of Yemachad, Yeramuni Moavi, Mitzriba Demi Kuti Benathin, Kalal Mamzer. In other words, if you have a Psul Kahal, a male, that's over 9 years in a day, 9 years in a day, his Bia is a Bia. He says, Shabba Wala Kohenet, if any one of these psulim had relations with about Kohen, Bial Levi, or about Levi, Bial Bat Yisrael, or about Yisrael, Paslua, meaning they passel that woman to marry a Kohen. In other words, if they have relations with her, she's passel to marry a Kohen. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Chol Shazaro Pasul Posel, Chol Shazaro Pasul Eno Posel, and we don't understand what the difference between Rabbi Yossi is and the Tanakama. In other words, if he's a passel person, he and he gives it over to his children, so he would also pass on the woman. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer, top line on Ayin Hayam and Rav, Chosh Tanose Bito, Atanose Amonoto. Chosh Yatanose Bito, Yatanose Amonoto. If you can marry this person's daughter, you can marry his almana. If you can't marry the daughter, you can't marry the almana. All right, you'll see this further in the Gemara. Let me just do a little few lines today with the story, and that'll be it. Okay, on Shabbos, we're at 4:30. Okay, now, a certain young woman told her husband that the baby she was carrying was not his. He chose to ignore her statement. Years later, the father began having doubts about what he had done. Who knows if his wife had told him the truth? He had no idea what to do. When he finally consulted with one person about this predicament, the person pointed out that uncertain mamzer is even worse than a definite mamzer. So the person who set us in doubt is prudent for marrying both a kosher person and a clear mamzer. At least that was according to one opinion of Mishnah, as we find in the Kedushin Ayin Dal, at least according to one Tana. This person then suggested, why not have a DNA test done to verify if you were truly your daughter's father? Yeah. The father went to speak with Rav Shraga Feivel-Kohn's Dal, he lived in Far Rockaway, the author of Bade Shulchan, about his predicament. The Rav pointed out that we find in Eben Ezer that the mother is definitely not believed to prohibit her child. He added, but your question regarding if you should make a DNA test is an excellent one. I will consult with Rav Yashu, so I'll let you know his reply. Rabbi Yashu ruled the DNA test should not take place. He said, in Evna Ezra, we find that the mother is not believed to declare her child illegitimate, and the father is. He says, Rabbi Akiva Eger and the Tashbase both wrote that the father is only believed if he is certain. and he's unsure, we presume the child is kosher. Since years have gone by, the daughter has a cheskes kashrut, and the father has no right to cast aspersions on this by testing DNA. The Rashash learns from the Bar Tanura and Rambam in the Sefer Eduyot that one should not reveal illegitimacy, even with a foolproof test, because of quota briot. The same holds true in our case. So, in other words, I guess they were like afraid, like if a DNA test might come out not good. So he's saying, like, yeah, but test is cautious, let's leave well enough alone. But, all right, let me get this recording. One second. Let me get this. 1 2.